Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this contest is scheduled for one fall with a 90-minute time limit. This is the Raw Impact Unleashed. Please welcome to the sanctuary at this time, at a combined weight of 420 pounds, they're your co-host for the evening, hailing from Northern California and known worldwide, it's K-Double, Black Lightning, your boy Cole, and White Thunder. They are the perfect storm. Get ready to unleash the Raw Impact.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all around the world, it's your boy Cole and K-Double. Get ready to have some trouble. This is your explicit warning. There may be vulgar violence and language and brief nudity. We don't know, but just in case, we're covering our asses. Alrighty then, enjoy the show.
Hey, yo, Cole.
Yo, Kev. What up, man?
What the fuck is up, brother? What the fuck is up?
Nah, shit. Still recouping from my birthday weekend.
Nice, nice. Had a good weekend, yes?
Yeah, it was great.
Sweet.
It was great. What? Started that out with Holiday Havoc. And BTW and
finished it up
eating a big ass tie dye chocolate cake.
Nice. And you can't beat that. Sorry.
And what's funny as hell is, as soon as our show started, it started pouring down rain here in Oakland.
Dang. The gods aren't with us tonight.
As soon as the perfect storm started, it just started raining like a motherfucker.
Oh, man. Anyway, but yeah, man, that was a great show. We showed up a little bit late, or I showed up a little bit late, but the matches I saw, Beatrice Domino is hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah. Every time I think about that, all right. Why don't you tell the story since I'm white?
All right. So no, I get there. We sit down. Beatrice is in the ring. I forgot who was she going with, at it with.
It was Lisa Lace.
Lisa Lace. All right. So she's going at it with her, and I want to say it was about 5-10 minutes into the match, she had Lisa with her arms wrapped around the top rope and was pulling on her and looked at her and headbutted her in the chest. It was like, blap, 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 to the chest, just like Trayvon Martin. And me and Cole just about started rolling on the floor. Do not get me wrong. It's not the Trayvon. I can't even explain it. It was just funny. It was just funny the way she did it. It was off the hook. She got me from that moment forward. I was just like, I am a Beatrice Domino fan from here on out. And she was just and the rest of the match was great from there as well.
Her exact words was chest shots, just like Trayvon Martin.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and I did everything I could not to fall on the floor. I was crying, laughing. It was just hilarious. She brought the pain that night. I couldn't believe how funny that shit was, though.
Yeah.
Definitely very entertaining.
And I got to, for the first time, to catch a Chaos Inc. match, which I was highly impressed with. Everything from the big man hitting the drop kick to Vargas tearing it up, man. That was such a great match.
Yeah, they definitely rocked the house. They the tag team champions for a reason, man. They put on a hell of a show.
Hell yeah. The two guys they beat up on, man, they gave them a run. But at the end of the day, you knew it was never in doubt. It was never in doubt.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely was going to win. and we smoked out the tag team they beat. So
yeah, we did.
Everybody won after that match.
Oh, yeah. And big ups to that crowd. Like, I got to give it up to them. Like, that was a live crowd. They probably weren't as hype as they weren't necessarily as hype as the crowd we saw at the school, but that was also a much bigger crowd that we saw at the school.
Everybody that was in the crowd or that night was the Faithfuls, and they were in the crowd at the WrestleFest too, guaranteed.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got, you know, their crowd that, I mean, probably 90% of them go to APW shows and Wrestling for Charity and East Bay Pro Wrestling and all that. But they are a diehard BTW fan.
Heck yeah. That's what it's about, man. We say it on the show a lot, you know, support the indies. Support the indies. And we mean it. Support the indies. Go to the show. Get in. Watch it. Support it. Have fun. I can give all kinds of credit to props to the Matt Stryker match, too. Pre-match, post-match, during the match. Awesome.
Yeah, man. I was happy to see Kimo get up in there and do the unicorn spear.
That was awesome.
Since he had the medical issues a couple of weeks back, it's nice to see him able to do a few things, you know, get in there and play around. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I lost you for a second, but yeah, I'm back.
Oh, yeah. Well, my satellite dish ain't working. My internet probably messed up. Like I said, it's
you calling in from a phone, bro. I'm the one calling in from the internet.
Yeah, but I'm calling through internet.
Your
connection.
Internet. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
It's thunder and lightning like a mug outside. It is like a legit thunderstorm in the bay.
Wow. Which means eventually it'll work its way up here to Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah, we need this water, but I need my satellite to work, man. It's stuck. I'm trying to finish up this Thursday night football game while we had this podcast, and motherfucker, all I see is fails. 85. And he's just standing there, stuck. Talking about signal loss on satellite.
Killing me.
Goddamn.
I'll keep you updated, Coley. I'll keep you updated. The Cardinals are driving and are probably going to win unless Carson Palmer throws an interception. There's our sports moment for the day. But yeah, so amongst that, we check out the fan page, man. You get to see all the picks that we took and of all the matches that we saw, and Victor Sterling retaining his U.S. title, killing it. Good match. One more, the shining moment from the Matt Stryker match was just hilarious with the what was it? I know in the process of all that, we saw a Superman punch or an attempt at a Superman punch, a spear. What else?
He attempted to pedigree.
You can't, huh?
There was a pedigree attempted.
Yeah. And then the You Can't See Me striker hit it.
Yeah.
And then I think somebody hit an attitude adjustment somewhere in there.
I think that was Striker too.
Yeah. But it was just a great way to finish the match, and it was just a great, I wouldn't call it an homage. I would say they were kind of spoofing. More so than homaging. But it was just great to see. It definitely got the crowd laughing and got the crowd behind the match. The sequence with the ref when everybody was pinning each other.
Was just
hilarious. That was great. I got to give it up to Goldstein and the guys because they pulled that one off pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was hilarious, especially when the ref actually went for the cover, and then Matt Striker counts for the pin.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, they put on a good show at BTW. I mean, every show is different, but they're all good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They all put time and effort into it. It ain't just going out there and going, all right, let's go through a progression. Same thing as last time, but it's always different, and they always try to do new comical type thing, which I think that's why they have a full house all the time because they're always doing new stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably seen it a million times if you're a wrestling fan, but, I mean, for those guys, they switch it up a lot and do a lot of different things every show. So it's never the same type of show.
The Shane Cody match was off the hook. I believe that's only the second or third time I've seen him wrestle. The first time I've ever seen him defend the belt. Because the last time I saw him wrestle was at WrestleFest, and I believe that was in a tag match, wasn't it?
Yeah, against the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, with the dude that I still can't remember his name. It was Johnny Morton, and it was the other dude. The dude who kept using me as a dummy.
Who?
The guy from the Rock and Roll Express that kept using me as a dummy.
And
we were kicking
Morton?
It with him.
Ricky Morton time we talk about this, I have a blank.
Same here. But anyway, that was the last time I saw him wrestle.
Damn it. Ricky Morton,
Robert Gibson,
and Robert Gibson,
Well, actually, there was evidently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 total members of the Rock and Roll Express. One was Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. You wikied it when I wikied it. It's gonna start trending.
Oh, man. But, yeah, man, it was Bob Gibson was the one that kept using me as the dummy, right?
Yeah, he kept teaching you stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, he was teaching y'all. He was using me as the prop.
No, you learn by doing it.
Yeah, true. It's true. No, trust me, I was honored. But it was just like, okay, there's three other wrestlers
You know why he kept messing with you like that?
What?
Because you was the biggest black dude in the room. So he was like, let me show y'all what I can do with the biggest black dude in the room.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Nah,
but yeah,
he
was
cool.
But he was really cool, yeah. A lot of, you know, I'll say it like this. I don't think outside of Flair, which that was pretty much expected of him, outside of Flair, I don't think any of the we've met any wrestler that wasn't cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Including the Prince of Cool himself, Carlito.
he was super cool.
Cool.
Yeah, the first time I met Christopher Daniels, he stayed in character as you know, that antagonist asshole.
Yeah.
Which kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
But then the next time I met him, he was chill, he was cool. And then after meeting him and talking with him like five other times after that, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
You're cool.
Like,
it's just that first time he...
It's that he just stayed in character. That's all it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, he was really cool. He ended up being really cool. But, yeah, man, Abyss was cool. Met him through BTW. Him and Chris Masters came up to the hotel room and kicked it for a while.
You never know who to meet. Like, especially this dude. Just kicking it with this dude, I'd have met half my heroes from WWF days.
Yeah, man. Without BTW, we wouldn't have been able to work the ROH show. Wouldn't have met Chris Masters. Wouldn't have went to the mansion party with all the wrestlers.
Yep.
With Manic and all that, which Manic's on the next BTW show in January.
In January, yeah.
And they have the Battle Royal. So, yeah, we'll get to see him again. And speaking of the TNA, they're getting down to their final. They're down to their final four in their championship series now.
Who are the final four?
Next week it's going to be EC3 versus Bobby Lashley. And then it's going to be Eric Young versus Matt Hardy.
Nice.
So it's looking like it's going to culminate into an EC3 Matt Hardy rematch.
Finals, yeah.
And
hopefully Matt Hardy will win back the belt because I think he deserves it.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I believe Vacant would disagree, but Matt Hardy is technically the champion, plain and simple.
The reigning defending, yeah. He was just stripped
of
it.
But yeah, I think it'll be Matt Hardy and EC3 in the finals there.
All right.
To finish out that storyline. And they're moving to Pop January. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
I forgot what day it was, but after the 1st and before the 30th.
Okay. So sometime that month, huh?
After the 1st and before the 31st. I forgot
works
January had 31 in it.
Our weak-ass competition moves to USA in January too, huh?
What's that? SmackDown? SmackDown's moving.
Yeah,
SmackDown's moving to USA. And I also heard through all the dirt sheets and everything I could read upon it, is USA want WWE to be more edgier.
Yeah, I've been reading a couple articles on that myself.
So hopefully, WWE will take that into consideration and, like we were talking about a few weeks ago, stop this PG era crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're calling it reality era now, and in reality, I know people cuss because they be bleeping it on the show while you're watching it. They too close to the camera and they say something and it just fades out for no sound. They don't bleep it. They just fade it out.
Well, and here's the thing about it, is that you can be kid friendly, but still be edgy. But you don't want to be too kid friendly, because wrestling in general is a violent sport or a violent activity in general. There is no way to really soften up wrestling. So really, I'm sorry to say it, but you got to put it on the parents. If they don't want their child exposed to things like pro wrestling before a certain age, then or ever, then that's on you as a parent to make sure your child is not exposed to it. And you can't be everywhere at once, but that's on you. You know, like it's not society's job to raise your child, it's yours.
You wouldn't believe who followed me. You won't believe who followed me on Twitter today.
Who's that?
Moms Against WWE or Moms Against Pro Wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck they want with
followed
you?
Me. I don't know. They followed me and immediately got blocked. I don't need that shit in my life.
I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. That's awesome.
And they like, shut up, dog, it's rain. My dog barking at raindrops. I read a couple of their tweets and they were like on Rule 1127, why WWE shouldn't be on, or wrestling shouldn't be on TV. I don't know if it said WWE or wrestling, but it was like wrestling shouldn't be on TV. And the reason was so long, I didn't even read the reason. That's how long it was. It was like a goddamn paragraph or two or three chapters long. And I was just like, man, this is ridiculous. You are blocked. I don't need you following me, and I'm not following you back, even though I do follow back everybody that follows me, unless your mom's against wrestling. But it had the WWE logo upside down, like how Miz TV does his thing.
Yeah.
With just one M instead of two. And with the little red tooth in it. I was like, really? For real? Can't believe this shit. And it could be a parody thing just to make fun of, you know, Moms Against Pro Wrestling, but I couldn't handle it. I had to block them.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Don't want no trouble. We don't need that kind of drama and negativity in your life.
Nope. Hashtag PMA.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to ask you, Cole, not to be sour because you got to feel the power of positivity.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stick with hashtag PMA.
they still
I don't associate myself with thieves.
With thieves, huh?
Yeah. Unicorn gimmick, man. Straight up.
They stole, the unicorn gimmick.
Yeah, man. I got a picture from 2 years ago that proves it. Me holding Cliffy at a BTW show. Dance Cliffy, because the Fighting Unicorn Chemo has been doing that shit forever. By the way, I forgot to give you the shirt for your daughter.
I know. Yeah, okay. I'll be back down there, or you'll be back up here soon.
So, the unicorn hug. And I got me a Unicorn Club shirt, so I'm part of the Unicorn Club. Way before the New Day ever thought about it, Chemo was doing it. So, fuck y'all, New Day.
New gimmicks, Day sucks.
Motherfucker.
New Day sucks. Well, your boy Cole is obviously not a fan of New Day.
Y'all steal gimmicks. Y'all steal gimmick.
I thought imitation was the highest form of flattery.
They're fucking hosers. That's what they are.
Oh, man. Killer. But, yeah, back to the BGW thing. Like, it just, if you can get to a show, whether it be BGW, APW, Gorilla Pro, Knox Pro, East Bay Pro Wrestling, go. Get in your car, get in your bike, take your local transit, and just go. Have fun for a night. Tickets are normally around $10-$20. And you get to see a great show. Well, most of the time, I can't speak for every independent circuit, but most of them normally will have at least one guy, one big time guy that's there, and then a bunch of younger guys who are looking to catch their break and who are out there performing their hearts out for you. So just go check it out. I plan on attending a lot more now. So.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go. Let's go. It's time to go. Where you gonna go to a wrestling show?
Show.
update. I got a sports update. The Vikings lose. Green Bay is in first place again. Yay!
Da 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 da. Green Bay is in first place.
That was the only reason for watching this game. Was to see the Vikings lose and Green Bay take first place to NFC North.
All is right in the world, huh?
For now. Don't jinx me. Don't jinx it.
Y'all got the Cowboys this week. Y'all lose to the Cowboys. Y'all don't deserve it.
Man, we lose to the Cowboys. I'm changing teams. After 20 plus years, it's too high to count of being a Green Bay Packer fan because they beat the Cowboys so many years ago. If they lose to the Cowboys, I will renounce my fandom and never watch football again.
Oh, heck no.
Arena football, I'll still watch, and I'll watch Canadian football. But I will never watch the NFL again if they lose to the Cowboys. I'm serious.
I know you're serious.
I will stop playing passing.
As the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah. At all, man, at all. I got the new wrestling, man. I got WWE.
Are you a lucky bastard? I have not had a chance to purchase that game yet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. When you get your timing down on it. It took a few matches for me to get the timing down just right to actually play it, to enjoy it. But after you get acquainted with the timing and everything, it's pretty good. It's basically just like last year's game.
I didn't play last year's game either.
Well, it's got a little bit better graphics and the play style is about the same. So they didn't really change up that much, except they added a lot of more characters. There's a lot more people to choose from. It's decent for what it is. I mean, I think every game could be done better in one way or another, and this is no different. They could have made, certain aspects of it a little bit better, but overall, I give it a 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Right on. That's enough. That makes it. Well, I kind of figured it was going to be worth it for me to buy from the get go, but once they announced the roster, but that definitely confirms it for me. That
yeah, I look for you, Scott.
Yeah,
man. Right, they're always a little bit cheaper, and they usually are in good condition. So,
well, yeah, because most stores won't take ones that are super scratched up.
Yeah. So I get the used copy. I got the online download. My brother ended up paying for it on his PlayStation.
Yeah.
And since we signed him up. On my PlayStation as his secondary PlayStation, everything he buys or downloads or whatever, I get for free.
You have access to it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It took 16 hours to download, but I finally got it downloaded.
So, okay, man. Right, I talked to you about this a little bit off air, and I know you haven't seen this week's, but I wanted to get this in right quick before we hit up this commercial break, but this was one of those books that I have to look at the bookers and really tell them that, because I know we talk a lot of shit, especially about WWE bookers in general. I have to give them credit on how they booked the Asuka match from NXT this past week. The ending was so brutal that it sent chills down my spine. It literally did. The way that they booked that match with Asuka basically knocking out her opponent while staring. It was basically, if you're going to think main roster stuff, think Cena when they would come down to distract him, and he would still hit the AA and get the pin while sitting there staring them down while they sitting at the ramp. It was basically kind of like was going back and forth. I think the girl's name was Darlene or Dylene or something like that. And she's going back and forth with her, And then Emma comes out because they have their big match at NXT TakeOver London to try to distract her. And Asuka just kind of stares her down. Her opponent regains her bearings, gets up, grabs Asuka, spins her around, and Asuka just roundhouse kicks her straight to the dome. And as she goes in to hit her again or to try to hit some move on her, the ref's like, nope, she's done. Knockout. And she just turns around and looks at Emma like, the whole scene, and nobody said anything. But you saw the whole conversation happen. Just like, bitch, look, you came out, not, this is going to be you next week. Just stick around. And it was one of those classic moments that, like I said, I want to give the bookers credit for how they booked it, because I know so much on this show we do criticize the bookers and how they've been booking the main shows. I wanted to give them credit for something and how they booked that particular match on NXT. I liked it.
Unless it wasn't booked that way, and she really did knock her the fuck out.
That's even better.
But yeah, they do things a little bit different down in NXT. I mean, you remember when Kevin Owens won the belt from Sami Zayn? He ended up, it was a TKO. He knocked him out, and then you know the KO shirts started coming out, and everybody you know jumped on board with that.
He was able to ride that to the Intercontinental
title. Yeah, I haven't seen NXT this week. I will be watching it. But I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it just as much as you did.
Yeah. Now, I'm currently enjoying their storylines. The storyline with Finn Balor and Joe, awesome. You know, and I'll say it like this. I can see the best friends battle storyline over and over and over again and have a different reaction to it every time based on the two people that are actually going at it.
Right.
You know, because yeah, we've seen the oh my God, the two guys that are best friends, now one goes bad and goes evil. It's really a very, I don't want to say generic, but it is a to an extent a generic way to turn a guy heel. You know, because to me it's kind of the easy way out. Have him turn on his best friend. That's going to turn the crowd against him 100%. Unless his best friend's an, unless you make his best friend an overbearing or annoying person, and then the crowd gets behind him when they turn on him. But it's a very easy turn. It's a, like I said, it's a very, very generic turn.
Right.
And so, but I do like it with Joe and Finn Balor, because I think Finn Balor does, to an extent, epitomize the ultimate good guy. And Joe just has that evil streak in him. You could see Joe as the bad guy. It's not a bad, it's not a far stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, but what's terrible is I like Joe and I like Finn Balor. So it's like, I'm just there to see a great match. You know, I ain't even worried about really the storyline between them.
Yeah,
I'm more or less there for the wrestling part of it.
I would say, is this Hulk Hogan the Ultimate Warrior for you? No.
No, because I wasn't never a Hulk Hogan fan.
Oh, yeah, you said that like, before, yeah.
Like, I wasn't that kid. I wasn't, oh, Hulkamaniac. Nah, I was a Macho Man fan and an Ultimate Warrior fan and a Rowdy Piper fan. I was more on the crazy guys that were possibly on drugs at the time, fighter brawler types, more than I was, you know, say your prayers and eat your vitamins, and that didn't, you know, relate to me.
Yeah.
So I was never a Hulk Hogan fan.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that I was a Hulk Hogan fan. It was really more so I was an Ultimate Warrior fan, and I didn't like seeing the Ultimate Warrior beat up on another. On another good guy. I knew Hogan.
Yeah.
I recognized Hogan as a good guy, you know what I'm saying, as not the heel, because they didn't try in any way to play either one of them off as a heel. They let them both go into that match as faces. And it just, I wasn't torn because I wanted Warrior to win all day.
Right.
It was just more so just like, okay, why is he fighting a good guy? You know, I can be honest. Now, not to say I had never seen a face versus face match, but in almost all of my previous experience with a face versus face match, one or the other went heel, and then they proceeded from there. But in this feud, neither one of them really went heel. Both remained a good guy almost until the end, you know, or really up till the end.
They've done that a couple of different times, where, you know, there really wasn't any significant change in any particular wrestler. It was just, you know, half the crowd loved this guy, half the crowd loved that guy, so they throw him in there, and then you get the double chance going on, and you know, I think those make for the best matches.
Yeah.
Even if it's two heels going against each other, you still have your favorite heels that you like to chant for and see and all that, so... I think it's better not to do a generic change, you know, and let it organically happen. Because throughout that match, you were getting, you know, both Hogan and Warrior chants. But by the end of it, everybody loved Hogan.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And that was just one of them things. It's like, man, really? Fuck.
Well no, because Warrior won that match, didn't he?
No, Hogan won the belt off of him, didn't he?
No, that was I was talking about the title for title match. I thought Warrior won that, because wasn't he the first one to hold the IC and the WWF belt at the same time?
I thought the title for title match.
Yeah, I could have swore it was an IC title for the WWE title.
Yeah, he might have won the title for title match. I'm thinking of a different match. Of him and Hogan, which they've had many matches.
Yeah, they have.
This was
the title for title. Hogan was the WWF title holder, and Warrior had the Intercontinental title. And then Hogan versus Warrior 2 was Halloween Havoc.
And that was terrible.
1998, yeah.
That was terrible. WCW, yeah. I remember that. That was terrible.
Yeah.
They didn't do Warrior justice during that time.
No. I will admit, the only time I got behind Warrior during his WCW run was he had one particular promo where he basically introduced the One Warrior Nation.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that I can get behind. I'm like, screw this Wolfpack and NWO shit. The One Warrior Nation. You do it, Cat. And for a little bit later on, at that point in his career, I got behind him. But really, his whole WCW run was just kind of flat.
Yeah, and it was very short too. They kind of basically brought him in, did bullshit, and then he was out real quick. And then Sting returned as the Crow Sting, and basically took over that One Sting Nation, you know what I mean? Like that longer type role and ran with it. But yeah, that was about the time I started watching when NWO turned into the Red and the Black and the Wolfpack, and then they had NWO and all that. That's when I started watching mainly WWE. I would occasionally watch WCW at that point. Only because, it felt too saturated with all the NWO crap and all the factions and all this. I was like, come on, guys, really? And then you flip it over to WWE and you see all these individual characters, even though they, had their factions with the Nation of Domination and D-Generation X. It wasn't
their factions
like,
consisted of individuals.
It wasn't 30 people to each faction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at the most, there was 6 in Nation of Domination, and then they broke that up pretty quick. You know, with The Rock, coming to the top and all that. And there was never more than 5 with DX. Point in time, because Shawn Michaels would have been gone, so that had X-Pac, the New Age Outlaws, Triple H, China, 5. Just like they had 5 with X-Pac not being there and Shawn Michaels being there. It never at one point, got over 6 with either one of those factions. It was just WCW was just going down the pipes. David Arquette winning the World Heavyweight Championship, still had a longer reign than Roman Reigns.
Ouch!
As world champion, yeah.
I say right now that Sheamus needs to stop this Sheamus 5:15 bullshit. Love you, brother, just stop.
It's hilarious though.
I can't agree.
It's hilarious. It's a knockoff Stone Cold shirt. It's hilarious. and plus, it motivates Roman Reigns to whoop his ass.
I hope so. I can only wish. But it most likely will happen. But Roman won't walk out with the belt, which is a good thing. Considering they no longer have a Money in the Bank backup to save their butt. On that note, before we dig into this TLC. Let's take a quick break to, talk about some stuff. I'm going to play a quick commercial, and then we'll come back and talk about some stuff and then get back to this TLC. You're listening to the Raw Impact Unleashed.
On Blog Talk Radio, 4 Aces Presents. And don't forget iTunes, y'all.
Oh. What's good with the planet Earth? And you are listening to NVT West, where the West Coast music lives. This is The Saint, and I want to go ahead and tell you about the original Now versus Then, where Generation X meets Generation X, hosted by two wonderful hosts every other Monday. On one Monday, you got Robin Baxter, poetically known as me, hosting. And then on the other Monday, you have the one and only Mother Metaphor. That's every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And y'all, just to let you know, once again, it's still from Generation X to Generation Next.
All right, Cole.
Yo.
Are we getting the World's Blur tomorrow, brother?
Yeah, I guess I'll do a World's Blur.
What you going to be telling these about, man?
About how much McDonald's I've ate this week.
Damn, you got to feel guilty, brother. You got to feel guilty.
I know how you are. I feel so guilty, man. They got breakfast anytime. Oh, my God. They're killing me, man. Slowly but surely, McDonald's is killing me.
The honest won't kill you.
I don't know what I'll talk about, man. I don't never fucking know. You always asking me this, and I always tell you, I don't fucking know, man.
Well, you keep telling me you don't know. It's okay, brother. You don't have to know.
I might talk about my favorite porn stars tomorrow. I don't know.
See, what he's trying to tell me, folks, and what he's trying to tell you is listen to in and find out. Listen to fucking and find out. I bleep myself.
Did you just bleep yourself? What the hell?
It's happening. I have a 7-year-old daughter, all right?
Don't you ever bleep yourself again.
Don't I ever bleep myself again? Oh, man. But, yeah. Yeah, and hey, y'all, don't forget, this is coming counting down. I think we have another 2 episodes left on BTR before we make the switch. So before we come back on, I believe it's January 22nd on the new format. So y'all keep listening in, and we'll tell y'all as time goes on where we can find us next before Ace is just jumping and doing some big things and the Raw Impact Unleashed is skyrocketing to where it wants to be. So just keep listening in, guys.
Afternoon delight. Oh, my bad. Oh. I got caught up.
All right, man. So back to this Tillica. Tables, ladders, and chairs. I guess the full card has been laid out for us now as to what matches we're going to see. I have to say this, man. This week's Raw was one of the hottest opens that they've had in a while, and the ratings probably won't show that, but that 16-man fatal 4-way elimination match, loved it.
Dug it, man. I really dug it. I actually postponed a little bit of Monday Night Football just for that match. I was like, because I usually see what happens, you know, and then flip it over to Monday Night Football and then, you know, back and forth on commercials and stuff. I didn't even flip it back over to the game during this. I stayed with it. And it definitely rocked the house. That was a hell of a start.
Yep. And the fact that it was an elimination match pretty much meant it took up pretty much the entire first hour of the show. You know, it was compelling. You had the opening, and I love the classic, and I call it classic because it reminded me of the Attitude Era opens to Raw, where you started out with League of Nations in the ring running their mouth, and then I love the fact that instead of having the atypical and expected response from Roman Reigns and the family, you get the Wyatt family that comes out, you know, and then of course you add the Dudleys. I didn't expect Rhino. That one kind of threw me off. I thought they'd bring in somebody else. But then again, no, Rhino's down there in NXT, just doing this thing down there. So why not bring him up to the main roster? Put together an ECW team.
And didn't you say last week, you was like, I'm fine where Rhino's at. He should stay in NXT and all that. And then all of a sudden, they was like, what? Fuck you, Kevin. He's coming to the main roster.
Pretty much. Oh, man. But I'm pretty sure this was the plan the whole time. But, yeah, but you get the ECW team, and then at the end of it all, you get the Roman Reigns team, and then you cut the commercial and you come back with this amazing match. Why does WWE have to be desperate for viewers in order to write good shit?
I don't know.
If you look at the beginning of the basically what drew the beginning of the Attitude Era is the fact that they were desperate for viewers. They were losing in the ratings to WCW. They didn't like it, so they turned shit around and got compelling and drew all the viewers in and won the ratings war. Now the past 5 weeks of Raw ratings have dropped every week. And now all of a sudden they're putting on good shit. It's like, why do you have to be backed into a corner? Why can't you just produce this all the time?
Yeah. And it's due to, people being stagnant. Let's just do what works. It's always worked, so let's just do that. And, you got Vince McMahon at the head of the household there that has final say. And... if he don't think it's gonna work or be PG enough or something like that, then he'll throw that idea out the window and tell you to come up with something else or have his creative team come up with something. But yeah, the last few weeks since the ratings have started to drop, I have noticed, just as you just pointed out, that the show has got better.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from top to bottom, the Divas, all the mid card to opening acts, they've all stepped up their game. Even the commentators, I have to say, have stepped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I would love to have Jim Ross back, but
there's nobody better than Jim Ross. That's just known fact.
But yeah, man, it's been a good run the past few weeks, and I hope they stick on this and keep on going, and I hope they take the advice of USA and get a little bit edgier.
A little grittier.
Yeah, a little bit more, edge to them, because, when it comes around time for TLC, they get a little edgier. There's more people going through tables. There's more people, dealing with the ladders and the chairs and all this. When they get around Hell in a Cell, they get a little bit edgier. But for the main part, they stay basic. And I think that's what the Attitude Era brought that this doesn't have, is they were always on edge. You never knew what was going to happen. How it was going to happen, if there was going to be, some run-ins or a chair being used or, all that. And they've kind of watered it down so much that it makes it uninteresting.
Yeah, big time. And that's something that, from my perspective, has kind of – hasn't necessarily turned me away, but like we talk about so much – the attention drawing factor. Like, when I spend more time staring at my computer screen than I do the TV screen when a match is on, then there's something not necessarily being done wrong with the match, but necessarily maybe the setup wasn't hot and didn't draw my attention in. It may be a great match and I may end up tuning in about halfway through and realize, oh shit, this is an awesome match. But unfortunately, if the setup doesn't come in hot because it's badly written or too tightly scripted, it can throw off your attention from paying attention to what is a good match in the ring.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully TLC will be great, man. I mean, we got a hell of a lineup happening. We got Swagger and Del Rio for the U.S. belt and a chairs match. We got Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens going at the Intercontinental title. We got the TLC
match. Oh, that's
going to
be a good match.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good match. We got the TLC match, you know, for the World Heavyweight Championship. So, you know, that they're going to bring the house down.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the triple threat.
Tag team.
Yeah, it's a triple threat tag team match.
Is it an elimination match or just triple threat tag?
I think it's just triple threat tag.
Oh, that'd be fun. Between New Day.
Then you got the New Day Usos and Lucha Dragon.
Hell yeah.
And then you got the Wyatt family versus the ECW family.
Mm-hmm.
In a tables
that
match.
One
so that's going to be a great match. I mean, that's a great card that they got coming up. And they've been building up on all of these stories pretty well.
Yep. I would say very, very, especially the Dudley's Wyatt family one. I like that. How for once you have the Wyatt family being chased. You know what I'm saying? And not necessarily
yeah.
chases and they're running away, but somebody's looking for, you know, looking to chase them for a fight instead of them tracking people down and forcing them to fight to defend themselves, you know?
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I like that. Very subtle, but you start to think about it and you start to notice, like, well, wait a minute. It's not the Wyatt family coming out to jump the Dudleys. The Dudleys are coming out looking to bang heads with the Wyatts. Let's go. And normally, most of their recent feuds, it's been people that trying to duck and dodge them or trying to handle other business, and they keep coming after the person.
Right, right.
So,
I do have to give him props, though, because what's his name? Braun Strowman tweeted out, "I had a dream of choking out Tommy Dreamer." And then that night he ended up doing it.
The profiteer.
And props to Tommy Dreamer for wearing the yellow polka dot for the Dusty Rhodes honor.
Yeah.
Remembering Dusty Rhodes with his polka dot gear. Something happened that I wanted to happen from day one. Alberto Del Rio finally told Zeb Colder he didn't need him.
Yep.
So
had a great segment with Jack Swagger before he did that. That was awesome.
Yeah, so I'm hoping he comes out and tries to help Swagger in some way at the pay-per-view.
I'm just happy Swagger's getting a U.S. title shot. Go Swagger.
Yeah, it's been about time. I mean, shit. He's been on the sidelines from TV since Zeb Colder had his injury. Whatever it may be, but yeah, it was like, Zeb Colder was your mouthpiece. We don't have anything for you. Sorry. live events, you go. But yeah, now that Zeb's back, hopefully he'll come out and prove to Jack Swagger that, you know, he's still an All-American, and they'll get back together, and so. We don't have to hear Jack Swagger's speech impediment that he swears he does not have. I do not have a speech impediment.
Jack, it's time to just admit it. It really is. Oh, man. So, hey, Cole.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. I think we may have a caller. Do we have a caller? Hello?
Yeah, you got a caller here.
All right, you got a question?
Yeah, I just want to say big up to my man, K-Double, holding it down.
For sure, for sure.
For sure, for sure. I just want to give you guys his perspective on who's going to be the next person or the next group of people to lead in this charge. As you can tell, a lot of the stars that they're trying to pull in for WrestleMania and stuff like that, how many times are you going to go to the Whale? You know, bring The Rock back, The Undertaker. Who's going to sell at that huge stadium next year? Who's going to sell at the huge stadium the year after? It seems like all the stars that they're building up, I can go up to somebody and go like, do you know who Roman Reigns is? And they'll look at me like, nope, I don't know who he is. Do you know who Dolph Ziggler is? No, I don't. But people know who John Cena is because he's everywhere. People know The Rock. People know The Undertaker. So what's going to happen when all these guys are gone? Do you think WWE is going to crumble down, or are we already seeing signs of it today?
You know that one?
Man, you can never go to the Well too many times. We have yet to have a Stone Cold appearance, which he's promising this year in one capacity or another. He won't be in the ring, of course, but his presence
probably just
brings out. But yeah, man, I mean, the more indie guys that they bring in, as Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, even Sami Zayn, and the more time that they have to develop them and bring them up to the main roster with the Kevin Owens and all that, I think it'll be all right. I don't see them being hurt that much with not having super huge names, because there's always somebody you can bring back for a special appearance or showing, just to get those few people that you need in the seats. So I don't see it really hurting them that much. But
you have to build new stars, though. You have to build new stars, and it just seems like that. Somebody like Seth Rollins, right now, everyone's going like, Seth Rollins did a fantastic job carrying the company with being the top heel, carrying the championship. You're seeing a really, really weak talker on the mic with Roman Reigns. That was painful Monday night, man. I don't know if you watched it or not. I'm sure you did because you guys have the show. But that segment at the end with Sheamus and him, man, that was unbearable, man. I felt like I was watching WCW circa 1999. It was bad. I mean, that's my own personal opinion, and you might have read stuff about people leaving early. That ain't no joke. And Seth Rollins, you can call him what he is, but he was at least entertaining, and he kept the show going, you know, pretty nicely. I just, you know, Sheamus being this huge, gigantic heel coming back, I just didn't see it. I always thought of him as a second-tier kind of player, maybe when he was the world champion and doing his little funny bit, but to have him being the top heel, I'm sorry, man.
I'll say it like this. I'll address it like this. I think that if you look at NXT, if you look at who the top stars are in NXT right now, you're seeing them already in guys like Kevin Owens, in guys like Neville, that they're not necessarily at that level yet, but they don't necessarily need to be at that level yet. A man like John Cena, as much as we're tired of seeing him, like, understand, we're in the last few years, but we're probably still like 4 or 5 years away from John Cena retiring and being done with like the in-ring part of his career. Possibly even 10 to 20 years, because if you look at guys like Ric Flair is still getting the ring for the right price. He ain't necessarily taking the same bumps that he used to, but he'll still get in the ring. So these guys will be able to, these guys will do this for like Taker's only 60. Really, if you look at the wrestling business, like we say, wow, he's 60. But think about it, Hogan's damn near in his 70s and was still trying to do shit in the ring. So I see what you're saying about the future, but these guys that are there now are still developing. Roman Reigns was thrust into the main event spotlight entirely too early, which is why we're getting brutal promos like what we saw at last Monday night's Raw. I can agree with you on that. It was hard to watch. But if you give Roman Reigns another 3 years of unfortunately dragging us through brutal promos, he may actually hit on a gimmick or a style that works for him, that he can proceed with and begin to be what the company has been trying to force him to be, which is basically their top face, is what they're trying to force down our throats.
The timing is horrible, because if you go back to 2014, when Roman Reigns was dominating the Royal Rumble and didn't have promises to aging stars trying to bring him back, like Batista, if he would have won that Royal Rumble, you would have probably seen the biggest pop ever, but he lost. And that was horrible. So 1 year later, he wins it, and everybody boos him. It's just they're not riding the momentum right at the people, and I feel like it's gonna be something that is carried on his back for the rest of his career now, is mismanaging and timing. And I hate to say this, but when Dolph Ziggler comes out now, he was so huge. He was a heel and won the world title the day after WrestleMania. That was one of the biggest pops I've ever seen in my entire life. I've been watching wrestling for about 25, 30 years. That was huge. And then he was the sole survivor last year at Survivor Series. Didn't do jack squat with him afterwards. They're not capitalizing on the moment. If it was up to me, Dean Ambrose would be your world champion right now. And that would have been a smart thing to do. And he's the one that could do it. He's got the personality of Brian Pillman meets Stone Cold. So he is the Hollywood Blonde mixed together. I just think they're missing votes. And if you try to put the championship on Ziggler now, everyone's going to go like, well, why the hell did you do that? And I just think that they have the stars that they can build up. They're just not doing it, and they're missing the boat. And that's just how I feel. And I really think that they need to start building up some stars, because if you keep doing this, the people that you do have around as a workhorses aren't going to be happy, and it's just not going to work. Example, CM Punk. He got blown over 3 times in 2013 and 14. Next freaking thing you know, he's outside the company, and he could have rode him too. That's just how I feel right now. I just feel like it's mismanagement.
Well, I can understand that. Well, I'm going to kind of bid you farewell for right now. We're going to get back to talking this TLC too. Call in any time, bro.
All right, brother. I'll see you soon.
All right. So, Cole, any thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think he's right on the money when it talked about the mismanaging of time and with certain superstars, they missed the boat on them, and that's something we talk about often on this show, that there's 10 to 15 to 30 people in a room coming up with ideas and run with this, and if one or two of those people don't like you, then you're not going to get that push. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with your in-ring skill, your mic skills, or anything of that nature. It's a personal thing. So they really need to keep personal and business, and I think that the company would be way better off that way. Unfortunately, that's not how it's operating right now.
Yeah, and that's a sad thing to say, because effectively and overall, that's what made the Attitude Era so popular, was that they let the talent create the creative, and creative just kind of guided them, like just pointed them in the right direction or tried to spark ideas for them. But creative didn't write the entire script and everything that every wrestler was going to say and everything every wrestler was going to do and script the matches and basically say, okay, basically your only part in this entire show is to be an actor and then get in the ring and be a performer. That is it.
Right.
We don't need your creative ideas. We don't need you having any bright ideas or thinking to do this, that, or this. Just be creative in the ring and put on a good match. I think that ruins wrestling. That waters down wrestling, and it makes it horrible. The more freedom you give wrestlers, to do their thing, I think the better the product is for everybody.
Yeah, let them sink or swim, basically. At least if they fuck up, it's on them and not on the company. You know, at least you give them enough rope to hang themselves with or to climb the wall with. Unfortunately, there's 15 to 30 people in a room that decides your fate. We all know Vince has the final say, of course, but his friends have a lot of pull that are around him, and if all of them are in agreement, they can change Vince's mind and say, hey, let's do it. If it don't work, we can change it next week. They think fans have a short attention span and a short memory. Can remember shit 80s that happened in wrestling, mm-hmm. and don't remember it from the 80s is because I see it happening today still, mm-hmm. like the same stuff. So it's like, okay, come on, guys, be a little bit more inventive.
I don't understand how you can't be inventive in a sport that allows you so much leeway creatively.
Yeah.
You know, you can write so many human stories.
To an extent, you know, everything has been done. Every move has been done. You know, somewhere, somehow, somebody has done it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, when you really think about wrestling, every possible situation, scenario, move set, high spot has been done.
Yeah.
It's the wrestler's job to keep me interested and intrigued to keep watching the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I could care less with you know, how storylines really break down. You know, I don't have to go into detail of every storyline or why this works and why this doesn't work and all this. If there's a great match involved in it, if there's great matches involved in it, then you can have a so-so storyline and it'd be great. But then when you've got these matchups that's just terrible, then that's where the real problem lies. Especially with, like he said, you know, Roman Reigns being on the mic, basically telling people it's time to go home now. I believe, that's all, folks. And see, my dogs are agreeing with me. They're like, yeah, that shit was boring. We changed it to Monday Night Football. But when you got, you know, more compelling people, I agree with him. I think Ambrose should have won. That's what we both said, but we both knew that Reigns was going to win and get his spot and all that. Ambrose would be perfect to carry the company right now because he is that you know, that loner type, brawler style. I'm not going to listen to the authority. I don't care what they're going to do. I don't care what they're going to put me through. I'm going to take my beatings, and I'm going to whoop some ass on the way, too. And his character is perfectly formed. On the mic, in the ring, all the way around, that would be my go-to guy right now to be the man of the company, or the face of the company. I think TLC is going to be one of the best cards they've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for it this Sunday. It's going to be awesome.
A couple matches we skipped over was the Charlotte Page match and Ryback Rusev.
Yeah. Even the Divas have been really compelling over the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Lynch came back from her vacation, and she's been on fire.
Who came back?
Becky Lynch.
Oh yeah.
She
fire.
She had a few days in Dublin, and then she right after the European tour, and then she came back. And it's been on fire, literally. Just kicking ass and taking names left and right.
Yep. I see that they're officially splitting up the rest of PCB.
Yeah,
with Becky slowly, like, not trusting Charlotte.
They've kind of done that. I mean, it didn't play well, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because it was, like I said, Charlotte shouldn't be champ right now. I don't believe her.
You know who we need to come back?
Huh?
And I'm not going to say what everybody think I'm going to say. We need Michelle McCool to come back. She was a good bad guy champion.
Taker's wife?
The Undertaker's wife. We need her to come back.
That'd be cool. I mean, she was, you know, one of the, you know, baddest heel divas out there. And she looked good. So. Oh my God, the Undertaker just showed up.
No.
I didn't say nothing about your woman. Leave me alone.
I did. Ha ha. No, don't come here. Don't come.
Man, you better watch out. He coming to set.
Good. I got a good couple of hours, man. All right. So.
Man. He just appeared. He was in Death Valley. He just appeared at my place. It's about to start thundering and lightning at your spot. And the Undertaker, the lights going to go out, and they're going to come back on. It's going to be R-Truth. My bad, dog. That's on me. It wasn't my bad.
No, the thing that sold the entire thing was the way he looked around, like, how the hell did I get here? And then just started waving at the crowd like, hi. Disappeared. Here come the Wyatt family. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, WWE. I don't know if you're letting R-Truth write a lot of his own stuff, but I hope you are, because if you are, all credit to him for how funny his shit has been recently and on point. It was like when he was at the peak of the Little Jimmy phase. When every week he just had me dying laughing.
Well, a couple of years back when they were revamping their writers, they got a lot of comedy writers from networks. ABC, NBC, CBS, a lot of those comedy TV shows. They picked up a lot of comedy writers. And they're trying to make it funny. They're trying to make it entertaining and all that. But sometimes it's just organic stuff. Like, I think R-Truth came up. I think R-Truth was, you know, at catering one day and was like, hey, y'all know what would be funny? If Bray Wyatt's music hit and the lights go off, and then when the lights come back on, it's me just waving at folks. And then somebody overheard it and laughed their ass off at it. Everybody at the table he was sitting with probably laughed, and it was like, yeah, we got to do it at least once. You know, something like that. I think it was one of them moments. I think the more R-Truth does like that, the better. Because, I mean, R-Truth is a great talent in the ring, but showing that side of him, that comedy side of him, is the best out of them. I loved it, like you said, with Lil' Jimmy. I loved it with Lil' Jimmy. That shit was hilarious. I followed R-Truth ever since he was K-Quick.
K-Quick, damn right.
Damn right,
the third member of the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah. So that was Ohio Valley Wrestling and Memphis Championship Wrestling before he even got with the Road Dog. I followed him through his whole career, His early stages of WWE, he was fired and released a couple of times because they just the reason was we don't have anything for you. That's because you ain't talked to him. It's like, hey, what can you do with it? Like, give me some ideas. And that's what they need to do with everybody. They need to bring everybody in and have a single meeting and be
pitch
like, all right, where do you see the character going? Where do you see your character going? You know, and you have a discussion about it, and you sit there and you basically sculpt the perfect character for that personality of that guy or girl, and then you let them run with it. And if it fails, it fails. You can always change it up. But the company gets to see a lot better. They give them leeway to do their own type of things.
And like we talked about earlier, like I said, there's so much importance. And lost that thought. Go ahead, Doug. I said I completely lost that thought. Real talk.
You had a brain fart?
Brain fart to the extreme.
There's gas in your brain, fool. And it smells like dude. All right, let's do some predictions, man. Let's do some predictions for TLC. Go down the card and tell me who you got, and then I'll tell you who I got.
All right, so Ryback, Rusev, I got Rusev only because of the way they've been booking him recently. I think they're trying to build him more as a monster again, and especially with this League of Nations thing. Rusev and Rusev versus Ryback. I expect Del Rio to retain just because, unfortunately, as good as Jack Swagger, as good as it is to have Jack Swagger back on the main, back not necessarily on the main roster, but back on TV, I just don't think they're going to give him the belt, but I think it's going to be a close match. Like I said, I think Zeb Coulter is going to come out and attempt to help him reuniting the two, but I think Del Rio is going to find a way to keep the belt. I expect the Wyatt family to come out on top in their 8-man tag elimination match, mainly because of the fact that the Dudley Boys and Tommy Dreamer and them don't really need to get the victory on the grand stage. Need after the loss to the Brothers of Destruction and Survivor Series, the Wyatt family needs the victory. They need to get over Charlotte over Paige, only because of the fact that they just need to end that feud. And I think that Paige, though she deserves it, won't get it. Unfortunately, they see Charlotte as their girl right now. I actually would hope, I'm gonna put two split predictions on this one. I hope the Usos win. I expect the Lucha Dragons to win. I just think New Day has held the belts for a while now. I think it's about time for them to drop them to somebody else, maybe win them again later on down the road. But I think it's Lucha Dragons' time. I think they're really over when they come out. The crowd's really Lucha, Lucha. So I expect Lucha Dragons to win, but I hope the Usos win because I think they deserve it. I expect Dean Ambrose to beat Kevin Owens. Owens has had a decent run. I think Owens may actually be being bumped up and somehow put into the main event picture, but we'll see. But Dean Ambrose, I expect Dean Ambrose to win the IC belt, and I expect Roman Reigns to lose in some kind of suspicious way to Sheamus for the championship, setting up a rematch and a third match at Royal Rumble.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with most of that. Especially with the tag team titles, I hope the Usos win, but I expect New Day to somehow pull it out. Dean Ambrose, I want him to win the belt. I think he'll win the belt, but they might screw him too.
Who?
The motherfucking League of Nations might end up coming out and screwing him. Because, I mean, that's been their main feud for the past couple weeks now. It's been the Usos, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, you know, again against the League of Nations. So
right.
he might screw it out of his belt during that match. And you know it's going to be crazy main event with Roman Reigns and the League of Nations coming out. I figure it will turn into an 8-man brawl.
By the time it's all done,
Sheamus, of course, retaining at the end of that one. I wish Paige would win, but yeah, like you said, it looks like WWE's going as Charlotte as their girl, unfortunately. I really do want Paige to win, though. But unfortunately, I think Charlotte's going to keep it. Del Rio's going to keep his belt, of course. Like I mentioned earlier tonight, I hope Zeb ends up trying to screw Del Rio since the way he treated Zeb the other day. And was like, I don't need you, I don't need anybody. And so Zeb's going to show him how much he really does need him.
Maybe they'll come around to my tag team thought process and end up putting Del Rio and Swagger back together.
I think Ryback's gonna win.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna do some bull crap where Lana gets hurt again and Rusev like checks on her or whatever, blah blah blah, and I don't see Ryback checking on her this time because he hurt her the first time. Accidentally. Then the second time, she faked the injury. So, you know, third time, I think he's just going to punish Rusev when she does her injury spot. So I think Rusev is going to lose. Plus, they still got heat from the engagement thing.
Okay.
Where they jacked up storylines with Dolph Ziggler and Summer Rae. So I'm going with we don't like him, he's losing from the creative standpoint on that one.
All right.
Let's see which one. What other ones am I missing here?
No, you pretty much hit them all. Well, you didn't hit Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I did. I want Ambrose to win, but remember I said I think the League of Nations.
Oh, okay, that was the match.
Tag team title.
Did you do the tag team elimination match?
Tag team elimination match.
Wyatt's an ECW or ECW.
I agree with you that the Wyatts need this win, but I also agreed with you last time when I was like the Wyatts need the Undertaker Kane win too, and that didn't happen. Which I was hoping that was the passing the torch moment for the Wyatt family, from Undertaker and Kane to the Wyatt family, but that didn't really happen. That didn't end the way I thought it was going to end. So I'm going to say it's better for the Wyatts to get over than it is for the ECW originals. It progresses the new talent. And why would you have all this new talent and say they're not as good as, you know, guys, you know, 20 years older than them?
They're not better, faster, stronger, so to speak.
Right. And I'm not trying to take any credit away from the ECW originals. I love the Dudleys. I love Tommy Dreamer. I love Rhino. But you guys... time as prime is on that backside of the mountain now. You've got to let these other guys climb up, you know, and be at least at your level or put them over better than your level now. I think they really need to get the Wyatts over this time. Plus, it's the Dudleys, so an ECW guy, so you know they'll come back for another fight eventually. You know, they'll yeah. come back. They'll get here and there. But for the pay-per-view, I really think that the Wyatt family needs to get over. Especially, you know, coming off the loss to Kane and the Undertaker the way that they did.
Well, there you go.
And I believe that's it, right? That's all.
Yeah, that's it, brother. That's all of them. One last question for you.
What's up?
Aldo, McGregor, who you got?
McGregor. Only
McGregor
because,
here, too.
Yeah, only because of McGregor's promo back in the day. He goes, "My ancestors were warriors, and I am a warrior. The only difference is they fought with swords, and I fight with these." And he raises his hands up. It was like the perfect fucking promo to cut, man. He definitely embraces that character of being a warrior and knowing how to get the crowd into the fight and all that. And so I got him. Even though Aldo is a bad motherfucker, man, he's got some quick fucking legs. I see it going down as one of the greatest fights in UFC history. But I got to go with McGregor because I know he won't stop until literally they have to drag him out. Definitely looking forward to that.
For sure. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here. We've been like 2-3 minutes off air already. So you, if you're listening to this, you're most likely listening to it on the archive. So we'll catch y'all next week. Cole, we'll catch you tomorrow night. Y'all better listen in, man, because this motherfucker's funny.
I had the world's blur blaring.
There you go. And then we also got West Coast Bias on Sunday, so be sure to listen in for that. And then we'll be back for our second to last episode on VTR as we count down to the major change coming in January. All right, y'all. This has been Raw Impact Unleashed. Cole, any last word for these motherfuckers? I say any last words for these motherfuckers?
Yeah, y'all take it easy.
Oh.